They're going to take exception to the lack of interim. But I think we can be successful with that. But I really believe that if we send it over there with a sunset in it, sunsetting sunset, that they will very definitely take exception to that. And we know who we're dealing with. We're fighting one battle just to get rid of the interim committee. And I would like to see us do that. I have no problem at all taking the question of sunsetting sunset on if this doesn't work.
I think we send them two bargaining chips. I think we might be able to bargain with one of them, though.
Let them take that out.
Then yeah. I would amend his motion with the concept that on the last section that we sunset this whole idea at whatever time you want to do it, Bob.
October 1st, 1987.
Okay. I don't know why you said that.
Campbell, would you accept that as a friendly amendment to...
No, sir. Absolutely not. I should say I won't. I wonder if the sponsors would like to speak to that amendment. Okay. Do they agree with it?
Mr. Chairman, the one thing that Alan Green... excuse me, Pam Ferrara, Director of Common Cause. Alan Green just pointed out to me that the one effect that would have is that three of the agencies that we included on... in the amendments to the bill would never be sunsetted, but just to point out to you that that would have that effect.
You can change your date.
January 1, 1988.
When's the last one come up? Let's do it right after that. Well,
1992.
I'm not prompting you, but when's the last date on that?
Let's see.
We agree that we don't need it.
June 30th, 1988, I think is the last.
88?
Yeah, let it go through the whole next session. No.
Well, I understand what he, I understand what you're talking about. Maybe this motion won't pass, but I, you know,
I'm sure it will.
When's the date?
Mr. Chairman, Pam Ferrara, Common Cause. The last date is June 30th, 88.
So that means sometime in 89.
January 1, 89,
yeah.
Maybe. No, that's January of the session.
Yeah, it's July.
June 30th
of 89.
Well, let's don't go too far
into that. I will accept that date.
We will accept as a friendly amendment to your bid.
There won't be many of us around.
Okay.
No. Okay. Don't let's kick around, right?
Recycle.
That gives us a good trial.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Okay, then Representative Shiprock moves that we amend House Bill 2940 to establish a sunset, to sunset this piece of legislation June 30th, 1989.
I suppose that would be the last section of the bill or new section. It'd be the easiest way of doing it, wouldn't it?
Is there any discussion on this? I thought there'd be a little discussion.
Well, just make sure that when it's engrossed and enrolled, that it's put in its proper place, which I believe would be a new section, whatever.
Well, we're this is going to have to be engrossed anyway.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It'd be a new section 12.
Okay, call a roll on that motion, please.
Representative Otto.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
what are we voting on?
I just read the amendment.
But I accepted that as a friendly amendment.
You have to take the amendment before you move the thing out to the floor. You were moving it to the floor.
I'm asking, which amendment are you voting on now? My amendment or Representative Shiprock?
Representative Shiprock. You weren't amending the bill. You were moving the bill to the floor.
Right.
And I understood you to withdraw that to get this amendment in for you.
Right, I did.
Okay. Now, do you understand the amendment?
No. Go ahead.
The proposed amendment is a sunset, put a sunset on House Bill 2940 of June 30th, 1989.
Fine.
Call roll.
Representative Otto?
Aye.
Shiprock?
Aye.
Zajon?
Aye.
Camel?
No.
Gilmore?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye. HB 2940 stands amended. Representative Campbell?
I would move House Bill 2940 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a request that it be printed and engrossed.
You've heard the motion. Any discussion? Call roll.
Representative Shiprock?
Aye.
Zajon?
Aye.
But I couldn't.
Camel?
Aye.
Gilmore?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye. We'll pass it to the floor as amended with an A and gross recommendation. Representative Campbell? You want to carry the bill?
I will carry the bill.
Thank you. Since it's your bill.
That may cost it.
How many votes will I have? How many votes will I have to the Democratic Party?
Right. We received Senate Bill 125.
About 12 in the Republican caucus.
125. Bill Radakovich, Cheryl Packard.
You heard about Otto's amendment.
And Edward Legrand. I got to make a call.
You don't have to excuse yourself.
But I'm explaining to him that you got the mallet.
The mallet. I know how to use a mallet, too, Mr. Chairman.
Good Lord, all of this is
okay,
new.
Diane, why don't you tell us where we're at?
We're at on Senate Bill 125.
Right.
Representative Otto, at our last hearing, had requested that we amend Senate Bill 125 by deleting a dentist from the board, which consists of 7 members, and adding a hygienist. And those amendments, Lee has them, and we'll pass them out to you.
Other than that, do you have anything you want to say?
Yes, Representative Gilmore. For the record, my name is Bill Radakovich, member of the State Board of Dental Examiners. I'm the lay member of the board. The board's consensus were in favor of adding another hygienist to the board. We see nothing wrong with that. We do not wish to lose a dentist from the board, but the addition of a second hygienist, would be fine. We would like to see this happen at the next session, the legislature, when our program will be sunsetted, but if that is not possible, we would take adding a second hygienist, leave the board with 8 members, effective July 1, 1984.
Thank you. Representative Otto?
Mr. Chairman.
To your amendments.
To my amendment. I have conferred with the interested parties, and I'm a strong believer in proportional representation on boards and commissions. Now, I think that they have made a case for the proposal. So my proposal would be similar to that of Mr. Radakovich, where the board be expanded by 1, and that person would be a dental hygienist.
Okay.
And that dental hygienist would take his or her position on the board July 1 of 1984.
Okay.
Excellent.
Your budget passed the House floor today.
Mm-hmm.
Can you reflect upon what changes that would reflect in that budget? How much is it going to cost you more?
Just minimally. My name is Cheryl Packard. I'm board administrator. Minimally, it would cost in the area of about $6,500. That's just minimum when you take into account per diem and the services and supplies section.
To add 1?
To add 1, yes.
To make it 8.
Which, for the biennium, that is.
For the biennium, yes. Okay.
So we would like to have the opportunity to plan for this individual.
That's why you said it 80.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
That's.
All right. Question, Mr. Chairman. So what you're saying, $6,500 for one individual for the biennium. Now, we're not talking the biennium. We're talking 1 year. So would it be safe to say that we're talking
$32,000, just depends on the location and how many times I may want to call upon this individual.
All right. Now, I have problems with your figures. One person for 1 year costs $3,200, right? That's what you're telling us. And that person will cost almost, $270 a month?
No. What I'm saying is, Representative Otto, is what the figures I worked out was for a 2-year period and just what it would cost me per board member. Now, I have an allotment of $31,505
for in the service and supplies section for just in-state travel for my board members. That's the majority of my expenditure is spent in the in-state travel section. That divided by seven board members gives you roughly $4,500 is what it costs. That's just per board member, would be roughly $4,500. Now, that doesn't take into account one is in Medford, one might be in Eugene, one's in Salem. It's an average that I took to come up with a some kind of analysis of what the cost would be.
And for in 1 year period, how many times are you meeting?
Roughly 10 times per year we meet. Then we function as examiners for two exams every year. So you're talking of at least 58 days that may be involved.
58 days
for the biennium, for the total biennium for two years.
So we're talking 26 days, approximately.
Approximately.
All right, 26 days, and those 26 days are going to cost approximately $3,100.
Well, approximately, I'd say $4,500 is what it would cost me if you just take on the average of seven board members with the $31,505 figure that I have.
You're done, Representative Otto, aren't you?
I thought I understood arithmetic, but right now, I'm not so sure. In other words, you're telling us that one additional board member for 1 year is going to cost $3,100.
Roughly, yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
All right.
And they can eat it within their budget, knowing it's a year ahead of time. Is that correct?
All right. And now you're telling me also that for that $3,100, there's going to be approximately 26 meetings. Right?
Take the gavel with you.
Okay.
That's right.
So we're talking then $125 per meeting, approximately.
roughly, yes.
Okay.
For the month.
I'm not objecting, I just want to get some figures straight. You're also saying that you can absorb it in your budget.
If we put it on 84.
Fine.
Okay.
And I move my amendments.
Representative Campbell?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Representative Otto what amendments he's going to move, because
That I outlined, and that amendment was to increase the membership of the board to 8.
Okay.
Add 1 dental hygienist.
I have the language.
There. And
that's what he's going
to begin. To begin service on July 1 of 1984. I move that amendment.
And Representative Campbell is going to state that amendment.
No, that's all right. Do you have it? Because I've got it. If you have it.
Okay. Any objection to that? Bob, you had a comment.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question I've wanted to ask, and this relates to the amendment. What does the public member contribute to that board?
He's here.
It's a loaded question, Representative Shiprock. Maybe the administrator or the investigator or other board members may address that question better than I can.
Representative Shiprock, Cheryl Packard with the Dental Board. I think he's been one of the most valuable additions to the Board of Dental Examiners. He's given light to the consumer perspective to the board.
And I didn't mean this to the individual. It would be a question of all boards. I fail to see in a lot of these boards what the public member can contribute. Since it is not of his background. And I'd like to know what the public member, in this case the Board of Dental Examiners, can contribute to the board.
Representative Shiprock, if I may, Ed McGlone, Deputy Administrator of the Board of Dental Examiners. In my position, I'm responsible for all the disciplinary actions of the board. And I think that that is probably the one area where the presence of a lay member is most important. While a majority of the functions or disciplinary actions we take deal with competency or narcotics violations or fee problems, the lay member has valuable input in all those areas. For example, we just concluded a 3-day, 30-hour hearing on the competency of a dentist in another town to perform anesthesia services. And there were several stories that were related by witnesses of what went on. And the public member was able to present the perspective of if I was a patient going into that office, not if I am a professional, but if I am a patient, that is not necessarily the type of service that I'd want to have. The same thing deals like with advertising violations. Our question when we feel that there's an advertising violation is, would this be misleading to the reasonable and prudent consumer? Well, that fits it right into the layperson's area. He can give that perspective. And also just in the, you know, many other areas where we just want to have that perspective, and it's very important. I think the importance is reflected by the fact that in all the discussions that our board has had with the various constituency groups about increasing the size of the board, no one would have had the layperson replaced by a non-layperson.
Is that done, Bob? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Sajo?
You ask a question?
Yes.
Yes. Page 8, bottom of the page. We're talking about for what instances there can be some disciplinary action, and on line 36, we're changing the words habitual and excessive use of intoxicants to a more defined definition. The way I read that is that you're putting the standard higher. Not only are you saying severe dependency, but you're related, it has to in some way impair practice. And I think the public trend is the other way, not to make the standard higher, to deal with professionals, drug abuse. I'm sure that's not your intent, but that's the way I read it. Could you respond?
I'm going to go ahead.
Representative Zajon, it's the board's feeling that that language is not raising the standard and, in fact, is going to make it easier for the board to deal with violations because of the addition of the term self-abuse. We have consulted with a psychiatrist who specializes in the treatment of physicians and dentists that are abusers of drugs, and he has informed us that with many of the drugs that are commonly used, you may be abusing them and doing terrible things to yourself, but you would not be addicted to them, you would not be habituated to them, and you would not have a necessarily severe dependency. As to the second half, where we indicate that it endangers the public by impairing a licensee's abilities to practice safely, it's our feeling that that is a standard that's throughout our statute. In other words, if it does not impair their ability to practice or it does not endanger the public, we cannot do anything.
Okay, and I see your point on self-abuse, and I was certain that's where you're headed, but it was the way would you mind if we struck the word severe? The committee desired to do that.
Or dependency upon
yourself. Rather than say addiction, severe dependency, just say dependency upon self-abuse.
I don't think we have any objection to that.
Is there anybody on the committee that has any objection?
Okay,
we'll strike the word severe. Anything else, Don?
Mr. Chairman? Just to go along with that, I would refer back to the page before where we are listing grounds for disciplinary actions, page 7, line 14, where we have inserted the term self-abuse. We also use severe dependency there. And the reason it was in the other section was for consistency, so I'd suggest that we would need to strike severe there also.
Any objection to that by committee members?
Thank you.
If not, we'll do that. Is there anything else?
I have another question.
Representative Otto.
On page 1, line 20, dental hygienist means the person who, under the supervision of a dentist, practices dental hygiene. Now, my question is this. At Mount Hood Community College, we have a dental hygienist program. Would this language prevent anyone that's on the faculty of Mount Hood Community College from its teaching dental hygiene, would it prevent that person from being on the board? I quite honestly don't know if they're practicing under the supervision of a dentist or not. Maybe the dental hygienist might know.
Mr. Representative Otto, as long as they are licensed as a dental hygienist by the board, they could be on the board.
All right, they don't have to be under the direct supervision. Is this language?
No, no. They would only have to be licensed as a dental hygienist.
Well, what we're saying here, dental hygienist means a person who under the supervision of a dentist practices dental hygiene. I'd like to hear from the two dental hygienists.
Well, they're signed up.
Okay.
All right. Fine. Are you done with these guys?
Yep.
Okay. You come right on up here.
If I may make one statement, Representative Gilmore, Representative Shiprack's, what do I do as a Leinenberger? I was very honored a year or so ago when the board elected me president. I think I was the first lay person in the history of the state of Oregon to be president of a licensing board, so they must have faith in what I do.
Mr. Radakovich, I hope you don't take my comment as directed to you.
No, I know.
It is a question that I genuinely wondered about when you get into technical boards such as this, is just what does the layperson do?
I stay away from that point. That I'm going to understand, I stay away from that.
Okay. Okay,
cool.
Let's come on up here. Ladies.
Girls.
Women. I apologize if you took that as a sexist comment, but I meant that in a very nice way.
We're worried about your Coke, though.
I know that. You better identify yourself. Would you identify yourself?
Yes, Sally Dyke, president of Oregon Dental Hygienists Association.
Okay.
And I'm Peg Ryan, member of the Legislative Committee of the Oregon Dental Hygienists Association and member of the Practice Act Review Committee.
First of all, do you have any objections with the bill in the form as amended today? So far?
No.
No.
We do want to thank the committee and appreciate
the
concern.
Okay, now, Representative Otto, your question.
The language on line 20, sub 5, dental hygienist means a person who, under the supervision of a dentist, practices dental hygiene. Would that prevent someone, a faculty member of a dental that's teaching dental hygiene in the community colleges from serving on the board? Are they under the direct supervision of a dentist?
This definition doesn't require direct supervision. It requires supervision, and there are three types of supervision defined in the list of definitions. In dental hygiene education programs, the dental hygiene faculty do in the clinical teaching operate under the supervision, general supervision of a dentist. Every
right.
dental hygiene program has a designated supervising dentist.
All right, then there's no restriction of having a faculty member from one of the community colleges on the board.
As we would interpret the law, now we're not lawyers, but that's how we would interpret it.
Okay.
I think Mr. McGlone is the person to speak to that. There is provision in page 10, is it? The board membership criteria for appointment to the board for the hygienist are on page 10.
I'm satisfied. So I would expect that on July 1, 1984, we'll have a faculty member from one of the community colleges.
I had a feeling that's what he had on his mind.
When
can I ask a question, Representative Gilmore?
Yes. After we have reviewed and made the changes in this bill, the people who are left in the audience that have signed up, do they still want to testify or make any comments on the bill if Representative Campbell is now going to move the bill as amended to the floor?
I think the lady there had a comment.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Which lady?
Oh, me. I wanted to make sure I had this understood, that when you said as of July 1, 1984, the interim term does not start until April 85.
Okay, I've compromised so much, I'll go along.
Wait a minute, the term starts when we put the person on.
Well, if I could clarify, Representative Gilmore, and actually I'm a little confused myself, and I attempted to go down to Legislative Council and see Kathleen Buffet to figure out what is the best way to interpret this. Our statutes say that all terms, terms of office begin on the first Monday of April after the time of appointment. If the bill takes effect on July 1, 1984, the appointment takes effect on August 1 of 1985.
Yeah. That helps them with their budget problems.
Yeah.
Exactly. Of April, I'm sorry.
That eliminates that problem entirely.
Okay. Which means we have roughly 3 months with the extra person on the board before our budget comes up again.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, we had a lady in the background that wanted to make a comment before Representative
Campbell. Lady in the balcony.
Would you come up and identify yourself, please?
Thank We're you, not ladies. Trying to rush you, but we just hate to carry this bill over another session.
Another session.
I'm Lynn Stott, president of the Oregon Dental Assistance Association, and I had some additional testimony, an amendment on Senate Bill 125 that we would like to read today.
Proceed, please.
I'm a dental assistant in private practice dental office, as well as the president of the Oregon Dental Assistance Association. I'm appearing before you on behalf of the largest occupation group in the dental health team to testify that an amendment to Senate Bill 125 is necessary to reflect the current delivery of dental care, lend consistency to the required competency standards of the providers of dental treatment, and to protect the Oregon consumer. Our immediate past president, Jackie Hopkins, appeared before the Senate Human Services and Aging Committee hearing, expressing our concern. Subsequently, the Legislative Council drafted an amendment for the committee work session. We are now reintroducing the substance of this amendment for brevity and to provide you with documentation to investigate at your convenience. We have attached Ms. Hopkins' testimony along with other data that supports our position. The Senate Bill 125 proposed amendments included in your testimony packet, in essence, provide for the inclusion in the statutes of the dental assistant who is performing expanded duties. These are dental procedures directly in a patient's mouth while the dentist may be out of the room, many the same as the registered dental hygienist performs. Registration based upon examination and competency and fee for registration. This allows for appropriate administration by your state agency, the Board of Dental Examiners. This proposal does not restrict the hiring practices of dentists or affect a dental assistant who may be performing services under the direct supervision of the dentist. This proposal does embody the same concept that were introduced at the last legislature in House Bill 2264 by the Oregon Board of Dental Examiners following 2 years of research. This proposal does provide consumer protection, which is the primary function of the regulation process and the regulatory boards. We sincerely hope that you appreciate our position. We are employees on the firing line every day performing these duties we are talking about. Many dentists say they are capable of training on the job and that they are ultimately responsible. We believe that dental health care, when we are providing that care, is a shared responsibility. When an unsuspecting patient is needlessly overexposed to radiation by dental x-rays, does it undo the damage if this dentist ultimately accepts this responsibility? Doesn't it make good sense to prevent the damage in the first place by having only someone who is trained in theory of radiation hazards and tested for competency and willing to accept personal responsibility taking x-rays as well as performing other potentially damaging procedures? Does it make sense that one auxiliary, the dental hygienist, can only perform these procedures by academic preparation and the other auxiliary can perform the same thing while training on the job? This is a double standard and can be rectified by our proposed amendments. For yourselves as healthcare consumers, for the people of Oregon whom you represent, we urge you to positively consider this amendment to Senate Bill 125. If you have any questions now at your committee work session or in the interim, we will be pleased to respond. Thank you for the privilege of letting me appear before you.
Questions of this lady?
I have one, Mr.
Representative Otto.
You brought this to the attention of the Senate committee?
Yes.
Why did they reject the amendment?
Mary?
I'm Mary Harrison. I've been on the legislative committee and I'm education chairman for our state association. I don't know. The vote was taken. The vote was 3-4. I can't answer to why they did not pass the amendment.
It's my understanding that the dental board would be up for sunset review. next session of the legislature.
Yes.
And we passed legislation today dealing with sunset review. And if that legislation is successful and works its way through the system and is signed by the governor, then there would not be an interim study on these various agencies that are to be sunsetted, but there would be a full standing committee, a statutory committee, a joint committee that would go ahead and look at this issue in 1985. Now, the legislature is reluctant, very reluctant, to create any new licensed professions. Mm-hmm. We have several bills in, one dealing with carpenters this time, and there's quite a few other. Locksmiths was one. We do have quite a few other professional groups that would like to be licensed. And virtually what we have done, we have said no. And I guess your best chance of getting into the system would be under sunset review in the 1985 session of the legislature, when the whole program would be up for sunset review, and the opportunity to make your case would be much